Yeah, I'd like to talk to you this morning about a resilient life. And I'd like, if you have your Bible, for you to turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts and chapter 14. So please do that either in your physical Bible or if your electronic one or however else you're reading God's word these days. And I'd like it, if possible, please, if we could share the reading. So rather than hear my voice, as you will, for the next few minutes, whether somebody would like to read for us, please, and whether we can unmute people for that to happen. I wonder if somebody might read to us from Acts 14, verses 8 through to the end of verse 15, and then if somebody else could pick up from verse 16 going through, I think I'll go a bit longer than it says on the screen, through to the end of verse 22. So I don't know how we're going to do this, but first come, first served. If somebody likes to start Acts chapter 14, verse 8, reading through to the end of 15, and please don't be shy.
I'll do the first one.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
So 15.
Yes, please.
And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them."
Thank you very much. Very good. Would somebody like to take it from verse 16 through to the end of verse 22, please?
"Who in times past allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Nevertheless, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God."
Amen. Thank you very much. The dictionary defines resilience in this way. It says that to be resilient is all to do with recoiling, springing back, resuming the original form after stretching, bending, etc., and also buoyant. So I have an elastic band, and you're fortunate that I can't reach you with this elastic band, but you'll see that this elastic band is resilient. You can stretch it quite far, and I won't overstretch it, and I won't let go of it, hopefully. But when I let go of the resistance, it resumes to its original form. You know that. Also, when it comes to this, and I'm going to do a little science experiment, this ball, this table tennis ball, when placed in water, I hope you can see that there, if my computer can see this, this ball is resilient. Actually, you can try and push it down under the water, but you know exactly what's going to happen. As soon as I let the pressure off of the ball, it bounces back to the surface. This is science class infant style, isn't it? But there we go, just to remind you that however hard I press, as soon as I let go, it pops back up to the surface. That is resilience. Let me just quickly dry my hands before I touch my computer again. So that's resilience. And it reminds me, let me just put my notes in place, that actually we are called to be resilient people. That actually this, whoops, just wherever be a second, I blocked you out there, didn't I, with my notes? Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, when I read this passage, and actually it's one of my favourite passages in the whole of the book of Acts, is I just can see the resilience. If I can remind you of what it says in verse 19 of Acts 14, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking that he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe, and when they got to Derbe, which was a good few miles away, they began to preach the gospel. I want to suggest to you that that is somebody who's resilient. You know, that he is left for dead outside the city. They've stoned him. They pelted him with rocks and stones, and so much. And then they dragged this lifeless body outside of the city, dumped it like some garbage outside the city, walked away. And then, and we'll unpack this in a minute, something happens so that the friends, the other disciples, gather around Paul. Next thing is, he's back on his feet. He's walking back into the city. And the next day from there, he goes in and he preaches the gospel in another town. It's incredible. And you know, I know that in our Christian lives, particularly in lockdown, things tend to get magnified, don't they? It's easy to become, as it were, submerged under our problems and our issues. Things seem to get magnified, even in our society. And I guess we all know, and perhaps have had more time than we need recently, to dwell on those things. So it could be this morning that as I'm speaking, you've just become a little bit heavy, submerged through maybe health issues. Maybe there's some family tensions that are really getting you down. Maybe it's the fact that you're just lonely. You're feeling incredibly isolated at this time and you wish you could connect with your friends, your church and your family, but you just can't, or not as you would like to. Maybe that this last season has been one where you've struggled financially. Maybe you've been furloughed, or even worse, you've been made redundant. And that is just weighing down on your life. And although you're a Christian, although you're a believer in God, it feels like you're being submerged under the water, a bit like the table tennis ball. It feels like if I can just get out from under this weight, and it's maybe even this morning as you're listening to those worship songs, as you're trying to sing along, maybe you're just feeling, wow, I don't know if I can really engage with that because my heart feels downcast. And I understand that, and I think the Lord understands that too, more importantly, that he understands that these problems come. But I do believe that there is an inner resilience. There's a buoyancy in the spirit of a Christian, a believer, that causes us, no, despite the circumstances, we are able to rise above them. And this isn't just for super saints like Paul, the Apostle Paul in the Bible, who we might all admire for the amazing things he does, and we might put him on a pedestal, but I want to remind us that the same spirit that resides, that lived in Paul, is living in you and me today. That same resilience, and I think the resilience comes from the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to bounce back when times are hard, to rise up above the circumstances, not through our own self-effort, but by through the grace and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. So we'll unpack it a bit more in a minute, but I want to just mention that this morning three things that will enable us, I think, to, that we see from this passage, that will enable us to be more resilient in our Christian living. And I do think at the moment, we as a church and we as Christians, we do need to be resilient. There is much discouragement out there. It would be easy for us to pack up shop and go away and just go for an easier life. But I think even the very fact that you're here this morning, zooming in on this call after, what is it, 14, 15 Sundays or more of doing this, that you are, shows your resilience, that you're passionate about following Jesus, you're committed to him. And I want to encourage you, but maybe there's something else this morning can just come afresh to your hearts. So I think the first thing I want to say this morning, the first key to living a resilient life is to allow God to deal with our past. In verse 19, it says this, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. if you know this part of the scriptures, you'll know if you go back at the early part of chapter 14 and then prior to that in chapter 13, you'll see that Paul is on his first missionary journey. He's been commissioned by the church in Antioch, Syrian Antioch, and sent out on this missionary journey. And they traveled to Cyprus, and then they come across to Pamphylia and beyond. And everywhere Paul goes, from town to town, city to city, he just preaches the gospel. Usually he goes into the synagogue, starts with the Jews, and there's usually a mixed response. Some believe, some reject him. And then he goes out into the marketplace and speaks to all the rest of the population of the town, the Greek-speaking people. And that's kind of his modus operandi. That's what he does. He goes from place to place. And as you see right at the beginning of this missionary journey, by the time he gets to Pisidian Antioch, he's seeing great fruit. Many, many people are becoming Christians. You can read the story later and remind yourself. But there's also the opposition that comes with it. And I want to say that whenever we are living, as it were, passionately for Jesus, you'll probably stir up some sort of responses. And hopefully, you know, people will be positive and some will believe, but there's quite likely to be this backlash of rejection and persecution. And we see that in Antioch, Pisidian Antioch. Then he moves on to Iconium in chapter 14 of Acts. And the same thing happens again. Some believe, but then other people get really stirred up. The Jewish, the sort of Pharisaical people, they get really stirred up. And they don't just disagree with him verbally, they attack him physically. And we've seen that again here when he gets to Lystra as well. So why am I saying all that? Well, I'm just using it as an illustration, and I'm probably stretching the application a little bit here, but I'm reminded that sometimes in our lives, it's things from our past that can weigh us down, that going back to the ping pong ball again, that actually push us under the water, make us feel like we're not living a very successful, victorious Christian life, that everybody else seems to be doing better than we are. And isn't that what we do? We compare ourselves with others and we think, I'm lousy. I'm not very good at this Christian thing. You know, I seem to have all these doubts or all these failings. And if we listen to that voice of ourselves, so often it causes us to submerge. And maybe there are some of us today, maybe you think, my past, you know, it just keeps kind of trying to poke its head back up again. Maybe some of us live in the fear of the past mistakes that we've made catching up on us. And maybe it's just that the devil likes reminding us of who we used to be and pulling us down. And all he's trying to do really is to remind us of our past. And I want to remind you this morning when that happens, and I think it happens to all of us at times, that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says this: there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this morning, maybe you're feeling that I've just not handled this lockdown situation very well. You know, maybe you've forgotten to read your Bible as much as you used to. Maybe you're not kind of praying. Maybe you've just got a little bit discouraged and you look at how others are, you know, seem to be growing in their faith, and you perhaps you feel like you've let it down and you haven't done what you think you did. I want to remind you, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That today we can start afresh. I'm not saying that that was a good thing that we did or didn't do, but what I can say today, that today, the 5th of July, 2020, can be a place where we start again. And that's what I love about Sundays, that no matter what may have happened in the week, we can have a fresh start on a Sunday. We can have a fresh start at the beginning of a new week, and we can move forward. So I want to say today, the first step to living a resilient life is to allow God to deal with the past. We need to remember that on the cross, he took the punishment for all of our sins. And he has borne it for us. And by the grace of God, we are saved. And we will be saved. And we're currently being saved. It's the whole beauty of salvation. Every day there's fresh grace upon our lives. And so that's what I see first. And my first point is this, that I think that's what happened here. That Paul's past, and he hadn't done anything wrong. It wasn't like bad stuff from his past was picking up with him. But the opposition of the past came and added their fire and their fury to this situation that was already very volatile in Lystra. But what I want to suggest to you, and maybe you want to read it a little bit later on, if we read on to the story, what happens is, although he's been persecuted from place to place to place, there seems to be a turnaround, and Paul returns on his missionary journey, not avoiding the places where he's been persecuted, but actually going back to those places and establishing churches and appointing leaders and commissioning them to the work of the God in that place. You can read that from chapter 14, verse 23 onwards. It's an amazing story that actually reminds us that Jesus can transform our place of failure into our place of victory. And maybe the very things that we're struggling with or have struggled with in the past, God wants to redeem for his future. You know, sometimes when new people join our church, and they perhaps have some things in their life that they're dealing with, sometimes they get most benefit from speaking to somebody who's been through that similar situation, and that actually God can redeem our mistakes and turn them for his glory and his advantage. So the second thing I want to suggest to you today is this, my second point. Okay, there's that. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My second point, though, is the second key to living a resilient life is this, that we need to, is that we never need to walk alone. Now, some of you are thinking, I bet he's a Liverpool supporter, and I actually am. So I just thought, you know, I don't even care about it. I'm just going to remind us that we are now the Premier League champions, and the banner of Liverpool Football Club, as many of you all know, was "You'll never walk alone." But I won't leave that image on your screen, just in case it offends you. But I want to remind us that actually the power of this story, the power of living a resilient life, is that we never need to walk alone. Or put another way, we need other people in our lives. So in verse 20 again in Acts chapter 14, so Paul has been stoned, he's been dragged out to the city and left for dead. This is not a merciful act. They don't just kind of let him hang on to life. I think the Jewish people and the opposition have thought he was dead. They literally did. I think otherwise they'd have finished him off. So they stoned him, they dragged him out to the city. This was not a mercy act. Oh, he's just about clinging to life, we'll leave him. They thought he was dead. He was that far gone. And then in verse 20, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. It's incredible. Just let it ponder a second. Hang on a second. Imagine being there. So somehow, you know, Ben has been preaching the gospel in Bognor town, Bognor Regis town centre, and the crowd has gathered, and you've been, you know, with him, supporting him, cheering him on. And suddenly these bad characters have come and they start throwing stones at him, you know, big rocks, and, you know, hit him, and he'd gone unconscious. He was bleeding. The family were crying. It was a terrible event. And then they took him, they dragged him outside of the town and left him on some waste ground there. They thought he was dead. But then the believers, that's you and me, ordinary people just like you and me, gathered around Paul. And I'd love to know what happened. It doesn't really tell us. But the next thing we see is that Paul has come back to life. And he's not just struggling to life, he is full of life. He's not stretchered back into the town. He seems to walk under his own steam. And then the next day, he travels with Barnabas to Derbe, the next place on their itinerary. So it's like the normal schedule has been resumed. And I think it was about a 60-mile journey to Derbe. So he kind of gets involved in that. How he got there, we don't know. But it doesn't seem to mean that ill health was a part of it. But what I want to emphasize is this, is that Paul was able to do that. God moved in his life in answer to the prayers of the disciples. You know, the fact is, you never see Paul ministering alone. He always had somebody with him. And sometimes it was a bigger crowd than just one other person. And very simply this morning, I want to remind us that actually, if we're going to be resilient in our Christian lives, if we're going to be like the table tennis ball and we're going to spring up even when things push us down, then we're going to need some people that can gather around us. I don't know what happened there, and I don't want to speculate, but what would you do in that situation if Ben is on the edge of Bognor Regis on a Croesus wasteland and he is being left for dead and you're there and there's a group of you from the church? What are you going to do? Well, I think I'm going to gather around him, and I think some of us are going to start tending his wounds. Some of us are going to check for a pulse, and other of us are going to start praying, aren't we? And we're not going to do just nice little prayer, you know, careful, gentle prayers. We are going to plead, you know, for God to touch Ben and raise him up. I want to suggest to you that's exactly what these disciples did. I don't think they had any guarantee that Paul was going to get up, but they just knew they needed this man, that God had called him and anointed him, and they prayed and they loved him and they cared for him. And in answer to that, God raised him up. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It wasn't because of the disciples' prayers, you know, well, it kind of was, but the power came from God, not from his friends. But it reminds me that there's power in friendship. If we're going to get through this Christian journey, we need to keep on encouraging one another, because there will be days when even the strongest of us, like Paul, you know, feel hurt and battered by the things of this life. And I don't think it's going to be a stone, but it can be the challenges of this life through the circumstances we go through. And it's in those times that we need each other. We need some great people that will encourage us, that will speak life into us, that will pray for us, that will share God's word with us and minister to us. And when others are doing that, are going through those tough circumstances, we can be there praying for them. So I know I'm speaking, as it were, to the faithful. I'm speaking to those that are on a Zoom call on a Sunday morning in July and never thought they would be doing church like this. But I want to remind us of the importance of keeping on doing this, however challenging it is, however hard you might find, and however impersonal. It's the best that we can do right now, and we need to keep on doing it. We need to keep on feeding our spirits. We need to keep on praying for one another so that we can become those resilient disciples that we were meant to be. We were never meant to walk alone. We were never meant to walk alone. You know, when I was pastoring in Cardiff, I used to have situations where people would come and they were down. The ping pong ball was under the water. They were submerged by life's experiences. And on more than one occasion, I used to get this phrase, "Pastor, I just think we need some time out." In other words, they needed to rest. And what they were really saying is, we're not going to come to church for a little while because, you know, it's just got too crazy, our life. And we just need time out. And I think, you know, in some ways I could hear through that. And sometimes we needed to take some pressure off people and say, look, you're carrying lots of responsibility in the church. Maybe let's help you with that. But I never tried to say, oh, it's okay, don't stop coming. Yeah, sorry, it's okay, yeah, stop coming, have a few months off and we'll see you in October. And no, because I think the very time when we're saying I need time out is the time when we need time in. When we feel bowed down and discouraged, that's the very time we need our brothers and sisters. That actually, you know, a trip to the beach might accomplish one thing in your life, but prayer and support and encouragement of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that's what we need. That's what brings life to our souls. So I want to say this morning, you know, if we're going to live resilient lives, we need to be people who have dealt with our past and continually need to bring our past before God. We also need to be people that never walk alone, that we do not give up the habit of meeting together, even if it's on Zoom, but that we actually continue to put that as a priority in our lives. And very quickly and finally, I want to say that the third key to living a resilient life is this, is to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, that's a liberal thing. The third key to living a resilient life is to keep the main thing the main thing. Let me just draw your attention very quickly to verses 20 and 21. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then, as I was saying earlier, they returned to Lystra. That's where he'd been stoned. Iconium, that's where he'd been persecuted. And Antioch, that's where he'd also been persecuted. But there they strengthened the disciples, encouraged them to remain true to the faith. The third key to living a resilient life is this, is we need to keep the main thing the main thing. That we don't need to become distracted. We don't need to become discouraged. I just find it's absolutely incredible how Paul does this. That, yeah, he's been healed, he's been restored, but I think, you know, I'd be going, oh, I need a sabbatical. I need a bit of time off. I need a time to recover. But there's such a fire, there's such an urgency, there's such a passion inside of him that he just gets on with it. He doesn't even have a day off, although I think day offs are good and rest is important. Okay, God's created that. But there's such a passion in his heart and such a desire to fulfill that commission from God that he just keeps on going. Friends, when we have that kind of burning drive of the Holy Spirit in us, it causes us to overcome those discouragements might come down. It causes us to ping back up even when we feel submerged. And actually, we need to, I think at times when I don't feel that, maybe when I become weary in the process, and the Bible says, do not become weary of well-doing, but just the energy that's required, I need to come before God and say, God, would you put some fresh fire in my soul? Would you remind me what the main thing is? And the main thing for us is the same as the main thing for Paul. It's actually about taking this amazing gospel and sharing it with others in ways that they can understand and seeing lives changed and transformed by the power of God. In the book, The Alice in Wonderland, one day she has a conversation with a cat. And I don't know, maybe you have a conversation with a cat. Maybe you would sniff at such things. But anyway, Alice is having a conversation with a cat. And she asked the cat a question. Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here? So when you're asking a cat those kind of big questions, then probably you've got a little bit of a problem. And the cat responds and says, well, that depends a great deal on where you want to get to. Alice replies, I don't much care where. Then the cat replies, then it doesn't matter which way you go. See, if you don't care where you're going, then it doesn't matter which way you go. But I think as Christians, we have to remind ourselves the main thing is the main thing. The main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, you know, I think we as Christians, and I would include myself in this, or even churches sometimes, we kind of lose our focus. The focus, the vision becomes a little hazy and blurry. And with that comes discouragement, because we think, I don't know what we're doing here. Why are we doing what we're doing? And sometimes we need to go back to God and say, God, would you sharpen the focus of why we're here? Would you remind me why we're here? Would you give me that faith, that burning passion inside my life again? So to summarize, I'll go back to my little ball and my bowl. This morning, God is causing us to live a resilient life. And no matter what the pressure is that's upon you, and it might be great today, God has will enable you to bounce back up. You might think, I'm kind of finished. I feel like I'm finished. God says, no, you're not finished, because I'm going to give you the power. And maybe this morning is something from your past that needs dealing with. Maybe it keeps cropping up, and maybe you need to talk to somebody about that privately and confidentially and ask them to pray for you. And maybe they can take you back to God's word. Maybe there is the fact that you just become a little bit isolated. And I know all of us have in some way or other over the last few weeks, we become isolated physically, but we don't necessarily need to be isolated spiritually. There's ways to connect. And number three, you know, maybe we've just lost our resilience because we've forgotten why we're doing what we're doing, and we've lost our focus. So can I pray for you as we close, and then I'll hand back to Ben. Father, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that the same Holy Spirit that resided in Paul is residing in us. And Lord, it's that Spirit, it's him that gives us resilience. And I pray today, no matter what the circumstances people might feel under, no matter how far down they might feel pressed, Lord, I pray today that there will be something within inside them, well, literally the Holy Spirit, that would rise up and bring fresh faith and fresh vigor. And Lord, if there are things that are causing us to feel submerged from our past, we thank you that the cross of Jesus Christ has paid for all of our sins and all of our mistakes. There is now no condemnation. And for others that have become just a bit disconnected, in some way or just need extra support and encouragement, I pray that they'll be able to find that. And Lord, I pray that us and this church will become people that are focused on the vision, that we won't allow a blurriness and lack of clarity about why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing here on earth to make us discouraged, but we'll have that crystal clear focus, laser focus, that will encourage us and motivate us and inspire us even on the most challenging and difficult of days. In Jesus' name, amen.